Welcome to Zikhu Daf Sin Mani, member by Ram Goldar and Dirma Sakas Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Vav. The ninth parak of Gozel Eitzim. So the three tops are going to focus on them when Rav Huna said in Rav's name, if one says to his fellow, Mani li biyadcha, a mana of mine is in your possession, and the defendant denies it and swears, and afterwards Eitzim testify against him, he's pater from pain because the Pasik says, v'lakach ba'ala v'lo yishalem, and its owner shall accept it, and he shall not pay, which teaches, Kevin shekibul habaim shavua, shuv ein mishal mamon. Once the owner has accepted a shavua, the defendant no longer pays money. Rav said that although Rav's ruling is reasonable regarding a loan, which is called payment, but not a pikadon, his ruling actually includes even a pikadon because the above pasuk is discussing a pikadon. The Gemara clarifies that this exemption only applies to a shvua imposed by basin. After several challenges, Rav concludes that whenever the defendant admits to lying, Rav agrees that he pays since the Torah obligated paying the principal and an additional fifth. Rav also concedes that one who falsely swore the pikadon was stolen must pay, since the Torah obligated paying kefil. Rav's ruling applies to one who falsely claimed it was lost and was discredited by aiding. Pointing to Rabbi Yochanan taught that a shomer who falsely swore the pikadon was stolen and then shechted it pays dal dehei. He was challenged from a brice which teaches about such a case that if Adim testified he ate the animal, he pays kefil. Since shechting is required before eating, it seems he does not pay dal dehei for shechting it. The Gemara answers the cases where he ate it without shechita. Several other answers are discussed, including Gagon Sha'am Bedin, where the thief stood for judgment and was found guilty and was told to go pay. Shechting afterwards would not obligate Dal Behe, as Rabbi taught if Basin told him, Tse Tenlo, go pay him, Tavoch Macher Pater, and he then shechted it or sold it, he is Pater from paying Dal Behe. Since Basin issued a final verdict, the original theft ended, so if he subsequently shechs it, he becomes a guzlan, a robber, who does not pay dal vehe. If Basin merely said, chayv atalitim lo, you are obligated to pay him, the verdict is not final, and he would be liable to dal vehe for shechting it. And pointing with you, Rabbi Yochanan said, aton tainas gana ba'aveda, one who claims and swears falsely about theft by a thief regarding lost item which he found, pays kefil. This is challenged from a brice which darshans, ki yiten ish, if a man shall give someone a pikadon, teaching, ein nasinus katan klum, a minor's giving of a pikadon is nothing, meaning a shomer would not swear about such pikadon, nor pay kefil for ton tainas gana. This applies even if the owner claims it as an adult. But if one pays kefil even for swearing falsely about a found item, which was never given to him to watch, then a pikadon given by a katan should also be liable. Two answers are given. Number one, the Bryce's case is where the shomer consumed the item while the owner was still a katan, and a legal claimant never owned it, as opposed to an aveda, which was owned by an adult. And number two, Ravashi says, aveda ka'asi mekoach bendas, a lost item came to the finder's possession on the strength of a mentally competent person, despite not being given by him, as opposed to a pikadon of a katan. So once again, the three points are, number one, Rav Huna said in Rav's name, if one says to his fellow, mana ubi yadcha, a mana of mine is in your possession, and the defendant denies it and swears, and afterwards Eidim testify against him, he is pater from pain because the pasuk says, v'lakach ba'ala v'lo yishalem, and its owner shall accept it, and he shall not pay, which teaches, Kevin shekibul habalim shvua, shuv ein mishal mamon. Once the owner has accepted a shvua, the defendant no longer pays money. Rav said that although Rav's ruling is reasonable regarding a loan, which is called payment, but not a pikadon, his ruling actually includes even a pikadon because the above pasuk is discussing a pikadon. The Gemara clarifies that this exemption only applies to a shvua imposed by basin. After several challenges, Rav concludes that whenever the defendant admits to lying, Rav agrees that he pays, since the Torah obligated paying the principal and an additional fifth. Rav also concedes that one who falsely swore the pikadon was stolen must pay, since the Torah obligated paying kefil. Rav's ruling applies to one who falsely claimed it was lost and was discredited by aiding. Pointing to Rabbi Yochanan taught that a shomer who falsely swore the pikadon was stolen and then shechted it pays dal dehei. He was challenged from a brice which teaches about such a case that if Adim testified he ate the animal, he pays kefil. Since shechting is required before eating, it seems he does not pay dal behe for shechting it. The Gemara answers the cases where he ate it without shechita. Several other answers are discussed, including Gagon Sha'am Bedin, where the thief stood for judgment and was found guilty and was told to go pay. Shechting afterwards would not obligate dal behe, as Rabbi taught if Basin told him, Tse Tenlo, go pay him, Tavoch Macher Pater, and he then shechted it or sold it, he is pater from paying dal behe. Since Basin issued a final verdict, the original theft ended, so if he subsequently shechs it, he becomes a guzlan, a robber, who does not pay dal behe. If Basin merely said, Chayv Atalitim Lo, you are obligated to pay him, the verdict is not final, and he would be liable to dal vehei for shechting it. And pointing with Rabbi Yochanan said, Aton tanas gana ba'aveda, one who claims and swears falsely about theft by a thief regarding lost item which he found, pays kefil. This is challenged from a brice which darshans, ki yiten ish, if a man shall give someone a pikadon, teaching, ein asinus katan klum, a minor's giving of a pikadon is nothing, meaning a shomer would not swear about such pikadon, nor pay kefil for tontainas ganav. This applies even if the owner claims it as an adult. But if one pays kefil even for swearing falsely about a found item, which was never given to him to watch, then a pikadon given by a katan should also be liable. Two answers are given. Number one, the Bryce's case is where the shomer consumed the item while the owner was still a katan, and a legal claimant never owned it, as opposed to an aveda, which was owned by an adult. And number two, Ravashi says, aveda ka'asi makoach ben das, a lost item came to the finder's possession on the strength of a mentally competent person, despite not being given by him, as opposed to a pikadon of a katan. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuv Vav, and our standard Siman relates to a kav, a line, so we use a tight rope walker walking a fine line. So here goes. The tightrope walker who told two Edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him, since he already sworn denied to a claim. In Basin, walked high above where a thief below who shechted a stolen animal after Basin had told him to pay the victim, was told he was putter from Dal Vehei, and saw a shomer refuse to take an oath when his little son claimed he'd given the shomer his little balancing beam to watch. Once again, slow motion. The tightrope walker, that must be on Duff Kuvav. Kav, line, walking a fine line. The tightrope walker who told two Edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him since he already sworn denial to a claim. In based, and which reminds us, Rav Huna said in Rav's name, if one says to his fellow, Manu libi yadcha, a mana of mine is in your possession, and the defendant denies it and swears, and afterwards Edim testify against him, he's pater from paying, because the pasuk says, v'lakach balab lo yishalim, and its owner shall accept it, and he shall not pay, which teaches, kevin shekibu habam shvua shuv ein mashal mamun. Once the owner has accepted a shvua, the defendant no longer pays money. So the tightrope walker who told two Edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him since he already sworn denial to a claim in Basin, walked high above where a thief below who shechted a stolen animal after Basin had told him to pay the victim, was told he was putter from Dal Vehei, which reminds us, where a thief stood for judgment and was found guilty and was told to pay, shechting afterwards would not obligate Dal Vehei. So the tightrope walker who told two Edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him, since he already sworn denial to a claim, in Basin, walked high above where a thief below who shechted a stolen animal after Basin had told him to pay the victim, was told he was putter from Dal Vehei, and saw a shomer refuse to take an oath when his little son claimed he had given the shomer his little balancing beam to watch, which reminds us of Brisa Darshan's the pasuk ki yiten ish, if a man shall give someone a pikadon, teaching ein asinus katan klum, a minor's giving of a pikadon is nothing, meaning a shomer would not swear about such a pikadon nor pay kefil for tolan tainas ganav. So once again, the tightrope walker who told two Edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him since he already swore in denial to a claim, in Basin, walked high above where a thief below who shechted a stolen animal after Basin had told him to pay the victim, was told he was putter from Dal Vehei, and saw a shomer refused to take an oath when his little son claimed he had given the shomer his little balancing beam to watch. All right, so now it's time for four blah ba chazar. Daf Kuf Beis. The Siman Daf Kuf Beis is a cave. So here goes. The man who lived in a cave, that must be on Daf Kuf Beis. The man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchus Anayim of Shemitah produce may be used for soaking flax or laundering if it was picked for that purpose. So the man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, who had been disappointed when the shlich he sent to purchase wheat returned with barley, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that if someone gave a shlich money to buy wheat to sell at a higher price and split the profits, and instead the shlich bought barley or the reverse, in b'chasu b'chasu lo, if they depreciated for the shlich, v'mosiro hosiro lo, and if they appreciate it, they appreciate it for him, meaning the shlich takes all losses and gains and repays the investor's capital. Another brisa says they divide the profits, but the shlich takes all losses. Rabbi Yochanan explains that the first brisa is Rabbi Meir, who taught on Daf Kuf Amud Beis regarding dyeing wool the wrong color, that one who deviates from instructions is deemed a gazlan. Therefore, this shlich acquires the produce with the stolen money. So the man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, who had been disappointed when the shliach he sent to purchase wheat returned with barley, was happy to learn that his other shliach carried out his shlichas as instructed and purchased wheat, as he was considered like the investor himself, which reminds us, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they mocked Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation that the second price is also discussing a significant deviation from his instructions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how does the investor acquire a share of the grain when the shliach disobeyed him, who informed the owner of the wheat that he should transfer wheat to the owner of the money instead of the shliach? Rav Shmuel Bar Sosrati challenges reasoning, arguing that even when a shliach purchases wheat as he was told, no one informed the seller to transfer wheat to the investor. Rav Yavoh answered that when he purchased wheat as he was told, he performed a shlichus, and is considered like the Baal Bais, the investor himself, so he may perform a transaction on the investor's behalf. Daf Kuf Gimel, so the Simran Daf Kuf Gimel is Kugel, and we use Yerushalmi Kugel. So here goes. The land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel, that must be Daf Kuf Gimel. The land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel, while refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought the field on the Reish Gulus's behalf, which reminds us, if a buyer declared untruthfully that he bought a field on the Reish Gulus's behalf to discourage potential protesters, we do not force the seller to sell it a second time, meaning he doesn't have to write him another document identifying him as a true owner. Although the buyer can argue that the seller understood that he only claimed to purchase for the Reish Galusa as a security measure and realized the buyer wanted a second shtar, the seller can respond that he thought the buyer arranged with the Reish Galusa to write a shtar for him. So the land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel while refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought the field on the Reish Galusa's behalf, packed up some kugel for the gazlan on his way to Madai to bring payment to the victim after he had sworn falsely, and only later confessed, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hagozel es chavero shava pruta, one who robs from his fellow the value of a pruta, v'nishbolo, and then he swears falsely to him, denying the robbery, but later confesses and is chayv to pay the principal and an additional fifth and bring a karban hashem, yolechenu akarav afil l'madai, he must bring the payment after him even to Madai. He cannot give it to the victim's son, nor to his own shaliach, but he may give it to a shaliach basin, which is a takana enacted to encourage his repentance. So the land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel while refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought a field on the Reish Galusa's behalf, packed up some kugel for the gazlan on his way to Madai to bring payment to the victim after he had sworn falsely, and only later confessed, and served kugel to the five people waiting to be paid by the thief who stole from one of them but did not remember who, which reminds us, it was taught in the Mishnah, Gazla Echad Mechamisha, one who robbed one of five people, Ve'inia de Ezmehen, but he doesn't know which one of them it was, and each of them claims it was he. Rabbi Tarfon says, Meniach Gazela Benehu Mistalik, he places the robbed item between them and removes himself. Rabbi Kiva says, this is not the derech to remove him from Avera. Achi Yeshalom Gazela Kol Echad Ve'echad, he has not fulfilled his obligation until he pays the robbed item's value to every one of them. Daf Kuf Dalet, so the Sim Daf Kuf Dalet is a code, so here goes. The code breaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A.W. Ayin, appointed with Aidim, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a Shaliach, which the creditor appointed with Aidim to collect his debt. Rav Chisda says, Havi Shaliach, he's a legal Shaliach, and the debtor is absolved of his debt after giving him the money, even if it never reaches his creditor. Rava says he's not a legal Shaliach, since the creditor never instructed the debtor to give him the money. So the codebreaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A.W. Ayin, appointed with Aidim, but that a Shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel, Ein Meshalchim Maos B'diokani, a Shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach. Bafil Eidim Chasum Moleh, even if Eidim are signed on the symbol as authentic, because this symbol does not prove he was appointed a Shaliach to retrieve it. Rav Yochanan said that if Eidim are signed on it, he is established as a Shaliach and one may send the money with him. So the codebreaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A.W. Ayin, appointed with Eidim, but that a Shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach, was overjoyed when he figured out the code Chomesh equals Mamun means that if a Gazlan died after only paying the victim, the principal is heirs. Must pay the Chomesh, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if a Gazlan repaid the stolen principal but not the additional fifth, he does not need to bring it to the victim. The Gemara infers that it is still owed. Almo Chomesh Mamonuhu. We see that the additional fifth payment is a monetary obligation to the victim, and not just for atonement. And if the Gazlan would die, his heirs would still owe it. Kufhei, so the Simmerdav Kufhei is a Russian hacker. So here goes. The Russian who hacked, a Russian who hacked, a Russian hacker? That must be one Duff Kuf Hey. The Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen 3 bundles worth 3 prutos, which decreased in value to 2 prutos, and had only returned 2 of them, which reminds us, Rabotot, if someone stole 3 bundles worth 3 prutos, and they decreased to a total value of 2 prutos, and he returned 2 of them, he must still return the other one despite being worth less than a pruta, since it had a pruta's value when it was stolen. So, the Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen 3 bundles worth 3 prutos, which decreased in value to 2 prutos, and had only returned 2 of them, and found a picture of the thief swearing falsely about having stolen chametz after it became Aser Bahana, which reminds us, Rava asked Nishba Lav Mao, if one swore falsely about having stolen chametz, which had become Aser Bahana, what is the lach? Do we say since if it would be stolen from him, he would have to pay its original value, and therefore it's considered denying a monetary liability? Or do we say that since the chametz is here and can be returned in its worthless form, it is not a monetary denial? So the Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen 3 bundles worth 3 prutos, which decreased in value to 2 prutos, and had only returned 2 of them, and found a picture of the thief swearing falsely about having stolen chametz after it became Aser Bahana, realized by hacking into a security camera that the reason he swore falsely to deny Pikadon was to stall for time and retrieve it from a swamp. Which reminds us, Rav Sheshet said, a kofer b'pikadon, one who falsely denies having a deposit in his possession, nasa lav gazlan, he's become a gazlan through his denial, even without swearing, v'chai ba'onzin, and he's chayev for unavoidable mishaps which befall it. Rami Bar Chama challenged him from a mission which lists someone who swore falsely to deny pikadon as someone who is chashud al shvua, suspect in regard to oaths. According to Rav Sheshes, he's considered a gazan who's disqualified from swearing through his mere denial, even without swearing. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah's case is where the Pikadon was in a swamp, and his denial was not to steal it, but to stall for time until he retrieves it. When he denies a Pikadon in his possession, he is immediately considered a gazan. Alright, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff to the case of one sending a shliach to buy wheat to sell, and the shliach fulfills the shlichus as he acts on the investor's behalf? That's on daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number 2. Which stuff when the one must return a remaining bundle from a group of 3 bundles, even though it's now worth less than a shavapruta? That's on daf Kuf Hey. Good. Number 3. Which stuff when the rub holds, one who swears falsely to deny a claim, then is disproven by Adim, is exempt from paying? That's on daf Kuvav. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we mokos whether a shaliach for a creditor that was appointed with Adim is considered a legal shaliach? That's on daf Kuf Dalad. Good. Number 5. Which of the when a thief who shechs a stolen animal after being found guilty and based in is patr from Dalad Nehei? That's on daf Kuvav. Good. Number 6. Which daf to be mechug is what a dyer must pay if he dyes the garment black when he was supposed to dye it red? That's on daf Kuf. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we discuss what the din is when one swears he did not steal chametz, which is now worthless? That's on daf. Kuf. Hey. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we know that one who robs someone of something worth a shavapruta, who swears and later confesses, must return the item even to Madai? That's on daf. Kuf Gimel. Good. Number 9. Which thing when a katan giving of a pikadon is nothing, meaning a shomer would not swear about such a pikadon, nor pay kefo for tolling time has gone of? That's on daf. Kuvav. Good. Number 10. Which stuff in the case where one denies a pikadon in his possession to stall for time so he can retrieve it from a swamp? That's on daf. Kuf Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.